You know, there's a thought out there that Christianity is only about what you believe, that it's simply an issue of the head, that if you know the right things, if you know the right answers, then everything is well. However, the Christian faith is not just a head faith, it's also a practical faith. It relates to everything that we do, impacts our everyday life. And it's one of the reasons why the Psalms is such an interesting book and such an important book, because it encompasses our entirety of our lives. The Psalms speak both to our head and to our heart. There are Psalms of worship. There are Psalms that cry out for help. There are expressions of confusion, expressions of sin. Some of the Psalms celebrate victory. There are Psalms that plead with God to destroy his enemies. You know, the Psalms speak to us. They speak to our lives, the entirety of our lives, and they help us know what life is like. And Psalm chapter 1 specifically is a wonderful introductory psalm, and it really introduces the rest of them, and it talks to us about how we can have a deep relationship with God, how we can live, in a sense, a Lenten life where we invite God into our everyday life. And so let us look at these verses from Psalm chapter 1. There are just 6 verses. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, in a sense, the psalmist is painting the world in black and white. Now, he doesn't say that every issue is easy to determine, nor does he say that it is everything in life is crystal clear, that it's automatically an easy choice to make that we do. He does say, however, that everything does boil down to 2 choices, that we can either choose to follow the Lord or we can choose not to follow the Lord. We walk with him or we don't walk with him, and there is no middle road. Right? He starts off by saying this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. The word blessed means favored by God. And the person who does not fall into the wicked is the one who knows God's will and will grow in God's favor in life. And we tend to define the wicked or sinners as mockers as those who are simply worse than I am, right? I am not like those people. I am better than them. The Bible, however, describes them as those who rebel against or who ignore the Lord. In other words, the wicked, the sinful, the mocker, are those who do not walk in God's ways and they ignore his instructions. They make themselves or they make something or someone else the center of their life. Jeremiah 17:5 says this: cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Jeremiah says that the wicked person is the one who puts their trust in people or in their own strength or in their own ingenuity. That wickedness, according to the word of God, has less to do with acts, the things we do, as opposed to attitudes. You know, wickedness is not about income. Wickedness is not about position or reputation. Wickedness is about the heart. And there seems to be a progression in which the psalmist describes how someone starts to follow the way of the wicked. And it starts with hearing. It starts with listening to or giving interested attention to the advice of the wicked. And so a question for us might be, who are you listening to? And the second step is standing with the wicked, right? That they have gotten our attention and now we're attracted to their mindset. And a question for us might be, who are we hanging out with? And thirdly, that we will sit with the wicked. At this point, the wicked has won us over to their way of thinking, and now we have rebelliously embraced their way of looking at life and the world. And the question might be, who are you allowing to influence your life? I mean, I say these things to Sophia all the time. Sophia, who are you hanging out with? Sophia, who are you listening to? You know, who's in your circle? Because I want to know who's influencing her life. I want good people, godly people influencing her. And Paul describes the wicked this way, Romans 1:32. They know that God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyways. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them as well. You know, Paul's describing these people who sit with the wicked. You know, the process of moving away from God and moving towards the wicked is that step by step. Who are we listening to? Who are we sitting with? You know, who are we hanging out with? Where we inevitably drift further and further and further away from the will and the word of God. You know, when we listen to them, we feel free to dismiss parts of the Bible we simply don't agree with. In other words, our philosophy, our virtues, our way of life is influenced more by the authority of people who are around us than the very word of God. And the psalmist warns us that even though this lifestyle may win us favor with those in the world, this way of life will inevitably lead us to destruction in this life or in the next. And the psalmist contrasts the one who is wicked by the one who delights in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Right? They look forward to reading God's word. They think about what they have read. They try to bend their lives to its instructions. They trust in God's truth. Now, the word law here is translated as Torah, and Torah means instruction. This is important because God's word is not about rules. It's about guidance and the very counsel of God. The law is meant to reveal and develop within us the heart of God. You know, one of the evidences of God having truly transformed your heart is that you begin to appreciate and hunger for the word of God, right? We listen to intently to God's word and we allow our lives to be adjusted to what he says rather than what we think or what the world thinks. We conform ourselves to him rather than the world. And so the psalmist then draws the picture of the result of these two choices. Now, first of all, he says that the person who delights in the instruction of the law is like that tree planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in its season. Their leaves will never wither. They prosper in all they do. A tree that can draw upon a source of nourishment, such as a river, never needs to worry about the dry times. That tree will always be nourished. Likewise, the person who delights in the law of the word or the word of God has a source of nourishment that is not dependent upon our circumstances. Whether life is good or whether life is bad, that person is still able to gain nourishment and strength because of God's word. Now, the other word picture that he uses is those who follow the advice of the wicked. The psalmist describes them like chaff. And it's an illustration used from farming, the way that they did it at this time. A grain would be harvested, it would be crushed by animals, usually on a hillside, to catch a good breeze. And once the grain was crushed, it would be tossed up into the air. The wheat, which was heavier, would simply fall to the ground, and the chaff or the husk would then be blown away by the wind. And the psalmist said, this is what the wicked are like. They are empty and they will serve no lasting purpose. They will make no real difference in life and they will be quickly forgotten. In times of hardship, they are often undone because they do not have a root system. Everything that they put their trust in is superficial. Now, this first psalm isn't a hard psalm to understand. It really boils life down into two different choices, right? There's a wide road, a popular road, and there's a narrow road. Every day we make a choice as to which road we are going to follow, which direction we will travel, in our attitudes, in our actions, our value, our long-term impact of our lives will either be molded by the Lord or will be molded by people who dismiss the Lord. In the church, the world around us is seductive. And it's very tempting to believe that life would be so much more fulfilling if only we had more stuff, if only we were a part of a different social group, if only we had a better job, if only we could have more fun. I mean, after all, you look on any commercial, and all those people seem like they're having a blast. We need to remind ourselves that every day is an opportunity to choose God. You know, the way of the wicked may look attractive, but it is superficial. Your life can be just as empty in a big house, in a large office, or in the public spotlight as if you had to sleep on the street for the rest of your life or if you overdosed on drugs. You know, one of the former pastors at Concord, Brett Probert, when he left Concord, he went into Cranberry, and he would talk about some of the lifestyles of Cranberry, and there are people he knew, people who attended his church, who lived in these great big homes in Cranberry. And they had no furniture because they couldn't afford it. Because they had to buy that big fancy house because they wanted the world to think that they were successful. And so when they would have people over, they would actually rent furniture. They'd have a party and they'd rent furniture so that the charade could continue. You know, you can be respected and cheered by the world. You can have the world think, man, you've got it all together. You were successful. And you will still be out of fellowship with God. And so here's a good question for us as we near the end of Lent. Whom do you follow? Who is it that has your ear? To whom have you given the position of the greatest influence in your life? Is it the Lord or is it something else? You know, no matter how attractive that voice may be, if it is not the Lord, if it is not his word, you are heading towards destruction and not towards life. And so take a minute and see where you are. See who it is that you are following. Ask yourselves what it is that you want from life. Do you want deep roots? Or do you want immediate pleasure? Do you want popularity or do you want discipleship? Do you want absolute truth or do you want the will of the majority? Are you willing to trust and follow Christ or are you going to trust in your own abilities? Because there is only two choices. No matter how we may justify things, there are only two choices. Serve and follow the Lord or go the other way. It is one or the other. One leads to emptiness and destruction. The other leads to blessing and life. What would happen if we would, like David, Psalms 139, Psalm 51, we took the time to pray, you know, God, search me and know me. Know my thoughts. Know who I am. Cleanse me, God. Create in me a clean heart. We would follow the Lord. We would be on the road that leads to blessing and hope and peace. Church, this is the biggest decision. This is the biggest choice we have in our lives. Follow God or follow the world. You cannot do both. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for your love for us. And as we have already said, Lord, you are that sure and firm place when the winds blow and the rains come down. That when everything else in this life fails, you are still God. And so, Lord, we are grateful that every choice we have is an opportunity to glorify you, to be drawn closer to you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hear those words of invitation we just sang. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. You know, to invite the Lord into our lives, to invite the Lord into those parts of us that we try to hide, you know, the things we think no one else sees, it can be a scary thing. But we need to remember two things, right? God already knows them. He knows us inside and out. And he still loves us. He still sent his son for us. In fact, as you know, Romans 5:8, but he demonstrates his love towards us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We can be free, we can be safe to call out to our God. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Because we know who's the one doing it. Gracious God, thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you that you are a trustworthy God. That we can trust in your love. We can trust in your justice. We can believe you. We can take you at your word. Here we are, dear God. Please use us as you see fit. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. Look forward to worshiping with you again next Sunday and beginning of Holy Week.